Hi, and welcome to Being Lutheran, a podcast dedicated to proclaiming the excellencies of Jesus Christ and the biblical theology expressed in the Lutheran Confessions. Today, Pastor Jason Goodham, Pastor Brett Bowe, and Pastor Adam Osher have another special episode reacting to a video by William Lane Craig. Being Lutheran is sponsored by the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary in Plymouth, Minnesota. Whatever your vocation, start here, go anywhere, grounded in God's Word.
Welcome to the Being Lutheran podcast. I am Pastor Brett Bowe, and I'm joined by
Pastor Jason Goodham
and Pastor Adam Osher.
All right, welcome back, guys. We are continuing our random couple episode interlude before we jump into the formula of Concord. And I'll be sure to say that correctly the next
interlude is a fun word. Yeah.
And yeah.
Formula of Concord should be way easier for you than Schmalkald.
Or Treatise in the Power and the. Yeah, anyway.
Or Apotelismaticum.
Yes. Yeah. The formula was written for people like Brett who struggle with hard words.
I feel like a little kid here in that.
Brett comes from the Zoolander School of Broadcasting for people who can't talk good.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway,
it's a great line, Jason.
I'm for the common man. All right.
Anyway. You're the everyman.
Yeah. So anyway, we were going into the formula coming up, and last week's episode was about the death of Pope Francis and our reactions to that, and thanks, guys, for your comments on that. And so today, as we prepare to get into the formula and walk through the content there, and you know, just to step back a little bit, we're reflecting on where we've been as a podcast, and we've been walking through the entire Book of Concord all this time, all the years that we've been podcasting, and realizing that, you know, the way that everything is all structured, we will be going over some of the same material, some of the same topics and ideas and concepts for some of the things, maybe for the fifth time, as we've walked through. And Jason, right, list off all those again.
So this is our fifth cycle through the Book of Concord. So we did Unit 1 was on the catechisms, both small and large. Unit 2 was on the Augsburg Confession and its apology, which we handled, you know, by article rather than individual cycles. Unit 3 was Schmalkald. Unit 4 was the treatise. That was our shortest one, only 8 episodes. But now in the formula, we are restating doctrinal positions with, again, more depth, different camera angles, and Article 1 is coming up, and it's going to be on original sin. And why we're entering into this is it necessary?
Is it to talk about it again and again?
Is it relevant? And so, again, last week, was the treatise relevant? Well, you know, the Pope's in the news and talking about how we can separate the soul from the doctrine, and it's relevant to know these things. It's relevant to know where we stand. Again, is this level of doctrinal analysis relevant for today? And the answer is, yet again, of course it is.
Yeah, yeah. I hardly have to turn around and you see something happening or somebody saying things that make you scratch your head and say, "Oh, yeah, that is important that we reassert that." And I think with each, and I think Jason, you've said before, you know, it's the heretics that write the. Heretics that write theology, is that how you
heretics
say it?
Heretics write the doctrines of the church.
Doctrines of the church. There you go. And yeah, so I think that. And I don't want to say necessarily this. Well, we'll just get into it here. Huh, and for me, I didn't actually hear this video, so I'm kind of reacting for the first time. Although you two have heard this and listened to it, but we're going to be.
I heard it at Walmart.
Yes,
this is Walmart theology, right?
You must go to Walmart quite often.
This might be dollar store theology.
So this is a video from William Lane Craig, and we're going to be reacting to the comments that he makes, and especially, like you say, next time we're going to be getting into the formula, doctrine of original sin, and so I think this will be just really good for us to interact with it this time. So Jason, would you go ahead and play that for us?
Yes, this has been a widely shared, about 90-second clip on social media, and we'll play it. You might hear Adam reacting again live on the air as we do it, but there's plenty for us to talk about.
Adam, I have been the rock of Gibraltar.
You have
in
been
in this episode arc. I'm okay here.
You're ready to spout off.
I'm ready. If all you hear things, me snicker.
Yeah. All things going well, let's hope the technology holds.
If you believe with Roman Catholics and Reformed and Lutheran theologians that Adam's sin and guilt is imputed to every individual human being descended from Adam, then infants and the mentally disabled are going to also need salvation to be applied to them in some way because they carry the guilt of Adam's sin. On the other hand, if like me, you're not persuaded that this doctrine is biblical, then infants and the mentally retarded are not born sinful, and therefore have no sin that needs to be pardoned or forgiven. And I think this is in accord with Jesus' attitude toward children. When you look at how Jesus regarded children, he said, unless you become like a little child, you will not see the kingdom of God. But these children who have faith in me, such is the kingdom of God. So he, I think, clearly believed that these little children were saved, were the recipients of God's salvation. And that would make much better sense than I think saying that they were all born vile and corrupted sinners.
Jason, I want to blow a gasket here.
Be my guest.
Okay. Can I kind of set up our framework? Because I see at least several things. And Brett, I know this is a new video to you.
Yeah.
You know, and you kind of do this for us in the other episodes. But first of all, one of the things that he leads off with here, and we don't want to be uncharitable. We don't want to be just taking pot shots at William Lane Craig here. But what he is espousing is exactly why the formula was written, why the the Augsburg Confession was written, why all these things. But ironically, if you look historically at this particular doctrine of original sin, if you look at it in the Book of Concord, it is one of the lesser covered topics, right? And you know why? Because, as he says in the beginning of his video, there's not a lot of debate. If you're Catholic, Lutheran, Reformed, that's kind of a broad swath of Christianity, is it not? You know, well, if you believe like them, you know, well, first of all, what he's doing, he's rejecting the understanding of Scripture and the witness of Scripture as it's been understood historically. That's an issue. Right, like that. First of all, you're taking your logic and your own misgivings and dislikes of particular theologies, and you're dismissing the entirety of biblical witness, historical witness, and saying, "Yeah, it can't be like that." For one, for two, and this is where I just about blow my gasket every single time. Is he uses as an example? He said, "We have witnessed all of our Scripture that like Jesus with the little children," and he literally uses the words, and I quote, "The little children are saved." From what? From the wrath of God. Why would they need to be saved from the wrath of God if they didn't have sin? William Lane Craig, you're one of the most brilliant philosophers of our day in terms of how you're respected. How is that possible that you can say those words and not recognize the contradiction? Even in the defense that he is trying to make. I don't know if I feel like I'm talking to him. I have met him. At the end of the day, I feel like even in your own defense, you're being so careless with the Scriptures. But in your carelessness, you're exposing the very reality that you try to refute. And that is the fact that the little children are saved. From what? And interestingly enough, he also says, the ones that have what? Faith.
Yeah.
In me.
Yeah, he says that.
So,
yeah.
So I fully agree with you, William Lane Craig. I fully agree with you that children need faith. They need to be saved. And that's precisely because original sin is a profoundly biblical doctrine.
The mind is boggled for certain. I don't even know where to start on this. Like you, I want to go off in like four different directions because I get so angry with this line of argumentation. Because not only does he use Scripture in support of what he's confessing, and the Scripture directly contradicts what he just said, but the big picture for me, and maybe this will be the starting point, the big picture for me is if your conception of faith necessitates you to create an entirely different way for people to be saved because otherwise they don't fit in your conception of salvation, then something is going wrong. Mm-hmm. And so the main criticism here, and again, we don't want to put words into William Lane Craig's mouth.
Correct.
When he's put the words there themselves. But my assessment of this is that he lends himself to the tradition in church history where faith is intellectual assent to a specific group of facts, right? We would say that, right? Which, therefore, we have a hard time of understanding how infants can have faith because they can't express it. You can't present them the information and they can't agree with it. But then the second category is the dangerous one, is then what do you do with people who are mentally ill or mentally handicapped? And while now what happens is we have to create a different category for them to enter into eternity. And there's no evidence of that in Scripture.
Age of accountability.
No, yeah, but that's exactly my point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he's a philosopher.
A philosopher.
I guess, this might be an instance of Luther's quote, kick the dog, console the child. I'm thinking of, we probably have people in our churches that, for me as a pastor, I know that there are people in my church that probably would say something like this, maybe just haven't been fully taught or maybe haven't embraced fully, things that we talk about, like with related to infant baptism of monergism and God's action towards us. And so this might be an instance of kicking the dog.
He's a teacher and he's falsely teaching.
Yes,
and that's the problem. And the other problem is Adam and I could each monologue on this for 45 minutes and we're not going to do that.
I'm trying to rein you guys in.
Yeah, I already did. I did it for about four.
Yeah, got so many things. This is the starting point for me is the problem itself refutes the argument that William Lane Craig. Because infants die. Mm-hmm. Is the evidence that they're under the curse.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it, right?
Even in the womb, think of it. Yeah.
If the problem didn't exist, we wouldn't have the debate. If no one died until they were 10, it creates a completely different discussion, right? But because infants die, it is evidence that they're under the curse. Okay, what do we do with that?
Well, and the concern, and if I was William Lane Craig right now, I'd push back on you. I'd say, well, so do cats. And they're not morally responsible, and you and I would both agree with that.
Yeah.
The difference, the gay penguin story, right? You know that big story of the gay penguins that I think we've mentioned on air before? There's this big story. You don't know the story? You gotta Google it. The gay penguins. I can't remember what zoo it was.
I'm not sure. I want to Google that.
Well, it's a heartwarming story, Brett. No,
I know exactly.
Male penguins were exhibiting nesting behavior, and so the argument was, oh, look, see these creatures. Everybody says that doesn't happen in the animal kingdom. These two male birds are thinking that they're a couple, and see it happens, and saying to Christians, well, this proves it's okay, and no. Because penguins aren't morally, cats aren't morally responsible to God. But the whole idea of needing to be saved, he uses that language. That's where the problem is, that he talks about being saved from what? From the curse of the law? Well, they still die. But when they go to die, it says they were appointed once to die and then to face the judgment. It's appointed to a man once to die and then to face the judgment. If there is no judgment, there's no need for salvation. There's no need for the blood of Jesus. There's no need for faith in Jesus. In fact, Jesus is completely and utterly superfluous without a doctrine of original sin.
Yep. And I teach this in my theology classes, especially pastoral theology. If at any point in time you could have been saved apart from the blood of Christ, it means right now you can be saved apart from the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
And this is where it goes. And so by William Lane Craig taking them and not placing them under the curse, now we can get into the argument of Scripture. And we're going to end up where he ended up in the Gospels. But starting point right here is Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Not some have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
I was going to say here real quick, he probably didn't go far enough. I mean, all of us, what about when we're sleeping and we're not
conscious of
But proceed.
But keep going with Romans 3:23, but go to 24 too.
Yeah, and are justified.
And the same all
are justified.
That's the subject of the sentence. The same amount of people who sinned are the same group of people that are justified. That's objective justification. That's not subjective, that it was delivered to the person, but it was won for the person.
Salvation accomplished versus salvation delivered.
Correct.
And that's the categories we're talking about. So then you get into Romans 5, and Romans 5 said, as in Adam, all sinned, so in Christ, all are made alive. How are we made alive? In Christ.
Yep.
And so
whether you're a cute baby, somebody with mental handicap or disability, somebody who's sleeping, you know, all of them, right? In Christ.
Yeah.
As we are held accountable for the condition of sin, as accountable for the condition of sin as the act of sin. Mm-hmm. And this is the big divider. This is where we got into the talk in the Augsburg Confession. You can go back on concupiscence, is that the desire to sin is itself sinful, right? All of these things fall under that category. And if all sinned, there must be a way to apply the salvation that Christ won for all. And that is the divergent point. Mm-hmm. If you conceive of faith as mental assent, what you really are conceiving of is, I need something to do. I want some credit for my salvation. And you listen to it. There are certain flavors of Christianity that talk about faith as my responsibility. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, no matter how hard you qualify that statement, no matter how much work you do to make it not, you
1% turn, or 0.11,
you turn it into works righteousness.
Yeah.
Because if it's 99.99% Jesus and 0.001% you, all that matters is that 0.001%.
All you have to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a category error where William Lane Craig or whoever's going down that turns salvation into works righteousness because we become responsible for part of our salvation.
Mm-hmm. I think in we're going to get to the gospel. We have to get to the gospel statements too. But I think with William Lane Craig, part of the issue, and this is something we see at ETS every year. You know, if you listen, he presents at the Evangelical Theological Society different times. One of the biggest issues that he attacks and that he's really at the center and heart of is the historical Adam. Did Adam actually exist? Was Adam really a singular culpable individual representative of all of humanity? And his argument is progressively no, there is no historical Adam. But this is a case in point, okay? So if you say that there wasn't a historical Adam, you think, well, that's not, well, we concede that as Christians, and not concede, C-O-N, but can give that, you know, okay, well, that's fine, but Jesus is, no, if you give away Adam, you give away Jesus. The same category of people who are lost and all died in him are the ones who are all rescued by Christ. That category of people has to be the same amount of people. And once you start to try and use science and reason to supersede or to stand over in a magisterial sense, stand over Scripture, you are going to screw up the gospel every single time. And that's exactly what he does here.
Yeah.
He does that. And this is a natural outworking of presuppositions that center on being more comfortable with logic, being more comfortable with his, the historical reasoning or scientific reasoning than it has anything to do with Scripture.
And the big criticism here, I want to do a qualifier really quick and then get back to that because you're absolutely right. If you want to get really deep into this topic, because we're not going to do a deep dive, you can't possibly do a deep dive on this topic in 22 minutes. Jordan Cooper has recently, with this topic, done some excellent responses to this, and you should check out what Dr. Cooper has to say. Now, back to William Lane Craig. As I'm the guy at school who teaches apologetics, it's one of my field of specialty, and William Lane Craig is one of the guys I use to teach this hesitation. He is a perfect example of doing apologetics the wrong way, and that's by playing by the other team's rules. And it ends up being, what can I give up in the Christian faith to make it seem more palatable to people who are prone to disagree with Christianity? and the historic Adam. Well, that it's really hard to believe. Let's just punt on that. You know, the young earth creationism, that's really hard to believe. Let's just get rid of that. And sooner or later, you peel away all these layers of the Christian faith, you don't have any part of the Christian faith left to get rid of because it's all gone. And that's the hesitation with doing this. So now, Adam, we got 3 minutes left, and Brett, save us, I guess, what we're doing. How do we recover what he said and direct people back to the gospel just so that this isn't an angry screed?
Yeah, right.
Angry screeds are easier for me.
Well, I mean, they feel better.
Yeah. And Adam, you said earlier, you know, we need to get to the gospel. But like, what is the gospel? The message of the gospel in response to this video is that the grace of Christ reaches down in our limitations and our inability and creates faith in us.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the message of the gospel in response to this?
Well, yeah.
Or is it more than that?
So yeah. it comes down to faith, right? Because we receive Christ through faith. You know, it's by, you know, by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. Now, in the best possible, I'm not being true to what he's saying, but if I was trying to be the most charitable to William Lane Craig right now, his point about the children having faith was indeed a good point for him to make.
Yeah, he gave away the playbook with that.
Those children have faith, okay? Now, in his world, as I'm hearing him argue his point, he believes they were born with it. And maybe they're born with it. Maybe, you know, that's not
born rightly oriented.
Born rightly oriented. Born with the faith necessary for salvation. Aside from intellectual assent, which I agree with him on, it is not something that's intellectual assent. It is a gift receivable by little children, the mentally handicapped, all of the above, right? And high intellectuals like himself. All of that's true and legit. Okay. But at the end of the day, we have to ask that question, where does that faith come from and what does it lay hold of?
Exactly.
Where does it come from? It comes from Christ. It's a gift of God. He would say, I'm putting words in his mouth, but I'd have to argue for him. Well, at least you're saying they have faith. It came from somewhere. It came from them initially. They never had a problem. Well, whatever, okay? But at the end of the day, it does come from somewhere. It doesn't come from our intellect. It doesn't come from our assent. It doesn't come from our will or our efforts. It comes as a gift of God through the proclamation of the gospel. In Scripture, and this is where our friends that are Reformed will disagree with me, in Scripture, there seems to be a clear place where God bestows such faith, and that is through the preaching of the Word of God as it's proclaimed and received by hearts, and it's given in the sacraments, which are expressions, visible expressions of the Word and the Gospel, right? So as the water is attached to the Word, that's bringing faith. Why do we baptize infants? Exactly for the very reason that William Lane Craig said, they can have faith. And God gives that as a gift. Secondly, it lays hold of the finished work of Christ because their finished work isn't enough. And if their finished work isn't enough, they were born with a problem. And you can call that problem whatever you want, but the Bible would refer to it as sin. And we can therefore say born with a problem, we can say it's original sin, the sin of Adam. We are born with the sin of Adam and under his authority, or under his representation. And we need another authority, another representation to step in and help us. And that's Christ.
And that's where, if you go back and listen to our baptism episodes, I think they're in the 60s, so like 300 episodes ago. Go back and listen to everything we've said about faith. The point of disagreement here is that because of the efficacy of the Word of God in the means of grace, what we confess is that every single time a person comes to faith, whether that's adult conversion or whether that's infant baptism, it is the same miracle. In that God is the one doing the saving. Yep. It's not intellectual assent. You did not make a decision for Christ. Rather, it was the Holy Spirit working faith in your heart and delivering and applying the gospel salvation to your life.
Yep. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please look us up on the web at beinglutheran.com. Also, invite a friend to check us out on Spotify and iTunes. Please join us next week as Pastor Jason, Pastor Brett, and Pastor Adam continue their discussion on the Confessions, looking at the formula of Concord. If you would like more information about the Bible School or the seminary, please visit our website at flbc.edu. God bless you and have a great week.